the question that is repeatedly coming in, both yesterday and this morning, the public want to get a sense of how much grant aid Invest and I gave FG Wilson. In other words, how much of their money did they give this company? Mm. What numbers are involved here?
Well, the total assistance that has been given to this company, now, just track the history here a wee bit. Was FG Wilson in private ownership here in Northern Ireland? The employee levels at that stage were around about 1,500. It then moved into a joint venture with another firm called Emerson. The employment rose to 1,800. Then moved, and FG Wilson or Caterpillar bought out that joint venture. The employment has now moved, as we know, to 3,000. So let's set this in context. Across that period, probably the last 12 years of Caterpillar's involvement, we have invested £25 million, both in terms of job assistance, in terms of training, in terms of bringing those 200 jobs that I just mentioned in wider areas to Northern Ireland, and in terms of R&D. And back to my plan and my strategy, investment in R&D to make them capable in Northern Ireland of delivering those higher value products.
And how much money over the last 2 years?
Well, I'll tell you, last 3 years, £780,000, last 5 years, £960,000. So the vast majority of this £25 million was given prior to that, but way back into setup.
But they've got £1 million over the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Are you looking at any of that money back?
Well, we, the firm have, and I'm not here to stand and grandstand for the firm. The firm have been very straight with us and said if whatever liabilities that there are in relation to unfulfilled elements of that commitment that you have given to us, we will give you back because it's part of our commitment. So therefore, we haven't calculated yet because there's uncertainty, Stephen, in the environment.
Sure, but what commitment? What way does it work? So you give them that million over the last 3 years, and what way does it work? They had certain commitments to you, did they?
So it depends where it is. If they're job related, and very few of these are job related, if they're job related, they must maintain those jobs for period of time.
What is the detail behind that? How many jobs did they promise?
I'm not going into the detail of that this morning, Stephen.
Hold on one second, Alistair. Surely it is a key question. And if you don't answer it with me, I promise you, you'll be asked it until you do answer it. Surely if a company is taking jobs out of Northern Ireland, and the Northern Ireland taxpayer gave them money to keep jobs in Northern Ireland, and that company in return said, we give you an obligation, we give you a commitment that these jobs will be in Northern Ireland for a set period of time. That is critical information, so that we know if they've broken their commitment, their honour, their promise to us.
And that information.
And did they?
Well, we don't have the detail yet in terms of what jobs are going to stay and what jobs are going to go. So, for example, the jobs that were supported most recently were those IT and finance services jobs. Are they going to reduce the numbers of those? We haven't been told that. I don't expect they will. There's an opportunity to grow that.
Can they, given their commitment to us?
In what way?
Well, you said there, and it's what I find really interesting, you said there that the company said to you that if they broke any of their commitments, that they would essentially return some money.
And that's the contractual deal that we do with all firms.
But surely, do we not expect a company, if they, and tell me if I'm being naive here, I'm not in the world of business, do we not expect a proper, decent, honourable company to honour their commitments?
Well, I think you're putting very pejorative words into the middle of that, Stephen. These are commercial contracts that we strike with companies. They're 5-year contracts with a 3-year tail. So that's an 8-year period of time. The contractual commitment is that they will create a number of jobs. We will give them a grant assistance towards those. They will create those jobs. And if they fail to create all of them or some of them disappear towards the end of that period, then there is what we call clawback. So we will recoup some of the money that has gone in.
And are there big penalties in those? Or do they just get back?
It depends.
Do they just give back what you give them?
It depends on the scale of it.
This example of FG Wilson, are there penalties built in? The thrust of my question is, are we disincentivizing companies, because we would expect this to be built in, surely, to not break a commitment?
Well, there are penalties in there in terms of, it depends on the scale of the jobs that were supported, but the vast majority of these jobs are not in the last 5 years, have not been in the last 5 years supported. The vast majority of these, you do the sums, 25 million over 12 years, a million over the last five, the vast majority of that 25 million was in the early 2000s. So therefore, any contractual commitments that they had around that £23 or £24 million worth of grant assistance has been fulfilled in terms of the jobs that have been created and maintained for a period of time.
And yet they are breaking some commitment to the people in Northern Ireland, because you said the company said to you, look, if we're breaking our commitments, we'll pay you back.
Okay. If there's elements of funds in the contracts that we have with you that in this strategic move we have not been able to fulfil, then we will deal honourably and we will pay back that amount of money. Mm. And I think that's a very I think that's a very good thing to do. These are. I know you've got this emotional this morning, Stephen, around people and their jobs. And I've said at the outset, I have a lot of sympathy for that. But these are contracts. So I know you're trying to turn this into their contractual commitment to Northern Ireland as a whole. The reality is, and I know it was said earlier this morning, the reality is in the return for that 25 million, they have invested over £850 million in Northern Ireland over that same period of time. 700 million in wages and salaries. They've also invested in R&D, 43 million in R&D, 130 million in capital equipment in Northern Ireland. So in the scale of our investment of 25 million, their investment of 850, I think if you had a representative sitting beside me this morning, they would say they have fulfilled their sort of moral obligation to Northern Ireland in terms of government intervention against their investment.
Do you not think there's a danger that you're sounding like a cheerleader for a company?
I hope I'm not, Stephen.
Well, you're quoting all what they've invested. And what, all I'm trying to do is reflect the mood, the sheer fear that will be in some of those families sitting around a breakfast table this morning saying, my highly skilled job is gone. And this company give them how much notice? A couple of days.
Yeah. And look, I'm not here to apologise for them. I think there have been challenges on the communication side here. I'm just trying to be very open and honest with you in terms of our engagement and what money we put in, what we expect to get out of it. And I'm not here to cheerlead for them because I think there are definitely some challenges. But in terms of...
Challenges is a euphemism in itself, isn't it?
Look, you know, we all look at this from different outlooks in life. As far as Caterpillar are concerned, they have other challenges as well.
Did they let Northern Ireland down with their communication of this message?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But let me give you the other context to that. Because we're thinking about rightly about the people, about the government who had invested in here and the commitment to that. They have a commitment to their shareholders too. And whether we like this or not, that's the reality of the business environment. They're a stock market listed company. They have both an obligation in terms of financial reporting, and they have an obligation to those shareholders. Because at the end of the day, whether we like it or not, these businesses exist. If we want to change the model, then great, let's bring another one. But these companies exist primarily to run a business and to make money and to be accountable to the shareholders. So they balanced up, and I can't judge whether it's right or wrong, they balanced up the communications with their shareholders and the notification to the stock market against the communication to their employees.
Can I just get to the end of the logic of my question that I've been pushing you on over the last 5 or 6 minutes? And it is this. Is there any learning process for InvestNI, or indeed, could we play hardball in any way in order to tie, is it possible to tie these companies into binding commitments? Or indeed, is it possible to load the financial penalties so high that they have to see out the term?
Well,
is that possible?
Well, I think we've got a good balance in the mix of those things. At the end of the day, we're selling, Stephen. So, you know, we go into international markets and we sell Northern Ireland for foreign direct investors. If you put too tight a contract in front of a company, and I, you know, let's take the analogy to the China-European Northern Ireland piece. I'm competing with 300 economic development agencies around the world for mobile investment. If I try to tie those firms so tight that there's no wriggle room at all in it, in a market that has changed tremendously over the last 5 years, then all that'll happen is I'll secure a smaller number of contracts. Yes, they'll be watertight, but my success rate will go down. So the answer to your question is I think we've got a good model at the minute. I think we've got a good balance between the carrot and the stick in the terms of those contracts. And I think, not wanting to cheerlead again, but we've a firm here that has said up front, you know, we're not going to squabble, we're not going to quibble. If there's anything that is owed back to the government as a result of this strategic decision we've taken, we'll honour that.
Well, they have to. It's a contract.
Yeah.
They're only saying what they have to do.
Well, there's other people who, and I don't, it's beyond my knowledge of the organisation, there's other firms who have left here and not.
Okay. Would corporation tax, Alistair, have made a difference in your view?
Not just because the finance minister was on before me. I think in this specific case, it would not have made a significant difference, and for the reasons that Sammy has outlined. However, having said that, I think corporation tax, a lot of our conversation around corporation tax today is about being around foreign direct investment, and I am absolutely firmly supportive of a devolved corporation tax helping us to drive even greater levels of foreign direct investment. But it is, I think the bit that's been overlooked a little bit is the massive uplift it would be to local firms. Firms who today cannot get access to finance where they don't have security to put against it, or they can't put a proper business plan around their growth plan. If corporation tax was reduced, then immediately you release funds out of that corporation tax into those businesses that they can turn around and fund their own investments, fund their own future. So I think corporation tax generally will make a big difference across Northern Ireland, both to inward investment and to Indigenous firms.
How much of a difference? How much of a net difference? Have you costed it?
Well. I've looked at my targets. I have committed to double foreign direct investment if I get a reduced corporation tax. And just to give you an indication, 7,500 jobs were created or contracted in Northern Ireland over the past 3 years in foreign direct investment. So I have contracted to double that number.
So hold on. So you've contracted to yield 15,000 new jobs?
In a three-year period.
If corporation tax is lowered, yes. To what rate?
Well, I'm making an assumption 12.5%, Stephen.
So you must be incredibly frustrated that the politicians haven't made a decision. They're still talking about the what ifs and the what nots. Are you frustrated?
I see life from a different point of view, an aligned but different point of view. I'm not a politician. I don't have to deal with the challenges of the budget and the block grant and the people who will be affected, because this is an investment. There will be a reduction in our spending power to give us the tool. And therefore, I understand those elements of it, but it's not my concern. I'm a salesman. I'm out there trying to promote Northern Ireland.
Are you not frustrated that they haven't delivered it?
I'd love to have it.
Are you frustrated?
I am.
And do you think the politicians should deliver it, get on with it?
Well, I think they're now closer to it than they've ever been. If you go back over our history, Stephen, in terms of this has been talked for many, many years. Back 10, 12 years ago, it was discussed as well. I think we are infinitely closer to a decision point and a positive decision point than we have ever been in our
history.
On corporation tax.
We're infinitely closer to a positive decision? The mood music is that it's not going to happen.
Okay, let me split that sentence. We are infinitely closer to a decision than we have ever been in our history, and I feel positive about that decision.
Well, that means, because you want corporation tax, that means you think. So then the head of InvestNI thinks the corporation tax is going to be lowered in Northern Ireland to 12.5%.
Well,
that's your view, isn't it?
That is my view. I think it is, to quote the
First
Minister.
What's that based on, though, Alistair? Where are you getting that from?
Where am I getting what from?
Where are you getting that optimism from? Because I'm talking to quite a few people who are pessimistic and saying it's not going to happen.
Well, let's separate out whether the decision is positive or negative, and let's look at the timeline that the guys have been working on in terms of getting here. We now have absolute engagement with Treasury. Like, this was tried to be done 4 years ago and nobody would engage 5 years ago. Now, Treasury, as you hear the Finance Minister, Treasury around the table, they're actually crunching the numbers. I know he doesn't like the numbers, but they're actually crunching the numbers. There's a commitment in there to actually work out what the model will look like and how much it would have to pay for it. That has moved so much further than ever before. So I think that is much closer. I'm unashamedly an eternal optimist.
So
I believe that the compelling case around corporation tax reduction in Northern Ireland is so strong that in terms of both doubling our foreign direct investment and funding our Indigenous businesses through this, that I think we have to make that move.
And I don't know, like most ordinary people, I have absolutely no idea about the fine detail of this, but I did hear, it was actually the Finance Minister in a previous interview told me, it's not as easy as let's get it cut, because there are massive costs to Northern Ireland. That comes out of our block grant, doesn't
it? Yeah, yeah. And I caveated my comments at the start, Stephen, by saying I am not taking and maybe that's rather standoffish of me to say I'm not taking that into account. If I was in that job, I undoubtedly would be.
So,
but I am purely looking at the job I've got to do. I've got a job to create 25,000 jobs in Northern Ireland over this four-year period, starting last year. We're well on track. At the present moment in time, our organisation and the team in InvestNI have contracted 8,360 of those 25,000
Haven't we got
jobs.
The biggest unemployment rate in the UK?
It's just gone across last month, yes. But you need to understand the detail that sits below that. The dynamic of that unemployment piece is that actually 29,000 of the 39,000 people who have become unemployed since 2008 are in construction and retail. and we could spend the morning, Stephen, talking about the construction boom and the impact of that. If you then move into the manufacturing sector and the redundancies in there, half of the redundancies in the manufacturing sector are manufacturers associated with the construction
sector. But hold
on a minute.
If it's comparable to the rest of the UK, there are problems in retail and construction in the rest of the UK. Why, Alistair Hamilton, have we got the highest unemployment rate in Northern Ireland? You've got to see that responsibility. And we have the worst rate in the whole of the UK.
Yeah. No, and I do see my responsibility as trying to create the jobs that will address that position. If you're saying to me it's my responsibility and somehow, or my accountability somehow, as to why the construction and the retail sector have dropped in Northern Ireland, then I think that's going to
be... No, I'm really asking you, why has it gone down across the water and gone up here?
Because we had an unrealistically high property-driven construction sector in Northern Ireland, and therefore we've caught a bigger cold on the back of the downturn. And the figures in the unemployment piece work that out. But look, I'm not walking away from that, Stephen. I know my responsibility. My responsibility is to create jobs aligned to the strategy in the high-value sectors. And we've been out there doing that. We have been the most successful region in the UK at attracting foreign direct investment in IT, financial services and business services.
I want to give you a chance, actually, because I think if we have been the most successful, I want to give you a chance to spell that out, OK? But 1 second before I get there. You said that you can really put your reputation, I'm paraphrasing now, you didn't use the word reputation, but it's your target. So in other words, if we get corporation tax at 12.5%, you're saying you'll deliver 15,000 new jobs over the next 3 years. Correct?
Well, you've added a few bits in there. It depends.
Let me hit in your words.
Well, it depends when corporation tax is reduced.
Over 3 years. Depends. Over 3 years.
Well, you know, it'll take us.
Target. You tell me in your words again.
So what the commitment is that whenever corporation tax is reduced, in a 6 year period, we will get to a point where we will be able to double the foreign direct investment. So there's a tail up in here. There's a period of time over which the corporation tax will be reduced. There's a period of time over which we have to get that message out there, build a pipeline of opportunity.
But from the point it is reduced?
No, well, it'll not double at the point. It tails up. You have to start.
So it's not over 3 years?
It's not over the first 3 years.
Okay.
It will be over a 3 year period.
Okay, over a 3 year period, fine. So over a 3 year period, you're saying you'll deliver 15,000 new jobs.
Yes.
Right. If we don't get corporation tax reduced, which is a possibility, what's your plan B?
Well, we will continue to drive the strategy that's here. And that strategy is around the high value, high quality sectors that are dependent on the people and the capability in Northern Ireland. And
so there's no new plan. There's no new plan B.
Well, I think inevitably, and people don't want to talk about Plan B, but inevitably, if corporation tax is not reduced, what we will do is we will push very hard the basket of measures that are currently there. They're not easy to communicate. They're murky and misty, but they're there.
But they're currently there, Alistair. So we have no new ideas. All our eggs are in the one basket. Our new strategy is corporation tax.
Well, it's not. It's not. The corporation tax sits alongside this. We have a very clear strategy.
But you're talking about the current tools that you've got.
And I have very strong tools in my armoury. All I'm saying today is...
But is there nothing new?
But let's be clear. I have very strong tools in my armoury around foreign direct investment today. All I'm saying is that corporation tax would make it so much better. The tools that I have in my armoury have seen us outperform other regions in the UK, have seen us attract 7,500 jobs from foreign direct investment, has seen us in Northern Ireland build an IT, a financial service and a business services sector that today employs 56,000 people, that actually today sees us as the top destination outside of London for financial services, IT inward investment. So the basket of measures, including incentives, the people, the infrastructure, the cost point, all of those are very attractive, and we're seeing big success in international markets. Corporation tax will just allow us to move on to a different scale.
How big a blow will it be, Alistair Hamilton, if we don't get corporation tax reduced?
Well, as Sammy said, I think the important bit is getting decisions taken.
But how big a blow do you feel it would be?
Because this is all supposition about what it may be and what it may not be, it'll be disappointing that we're not able to move on to that new level.
No, I don't understand. Because you've spent the last 10 or 15 minutes telling me about you know, you really are optimistic that corporation tax will happen. 15,000 new jobs over a 3-year period. So, you know, we want a bit of leverage here. We want the fighters for corporation tax to come out, stand up tall. And part of doing that, and there are obviously those who oppose corporation tax, we want them to do the same as well. So we have this debate in this country. How big a blow do you think it'll be to Northern Ireland if it doesn't happen?
I think in terms of moving from where we are today to where we need to go to in the future, and that whole rebalance of our economy, I think it is the one major opportunity that sits in front of us to do that.
If would we it don't be a fundamental blow?
Well, unless somebody can come up with a more compelling plan B, Stephen, and I haven't seen it yet, then yes.
I do want you to talk about the positive news that you're doing, and I do want you to explain to us as lay people the good news story about Northern Ireland. How much are we attracting from all different places in the world?
Well, the current period started a year and a half ago, Stephen. We're 18 months into a 4-year plan, and I must say, I would need to be careful to say I'm very conscious in my mind to go right back to the comments that we started this with in terms of the pain that people feel today. But if there's something out of today that can give a little bit of hope, it is the fact that there are jobs being attracted to Northern Ireland. And in terms of the jobs that we have secured, I crunched a few numbers last night because people are saying, is this the death of the manufacturing sector? Out of all of the jobs that we have secured both internationally and locally over the last year and a half, over 40% of them have been in engineering and manufacturing.
How many real numbers is that though?
So let me give you the numbers. And our target out of the 25,000 for the 2 years is 13,300. So that's my 2-year target.
13,300 new jobs.
New jobs. So as I sit here today, we have contracted 8,360 of those. And I am reporting that I will deliver the 13,300 by this year end. So that's the end of March next year. We will have delivered a contracted version, a contracted commitment to deliver 13,300 jobs.
Hold on a minute. Because my brain doesn't work as fast as some other people. I was going to say as yours, sir, but I don't want to give you that. So we've had how many up to now new jobs?
8,360.
And you know, as you sit here today, that you're going to hit your 13,000 target.
I can tell you.
So you've got something up your sleeve. You've got 5,000 new jobs. What are they?
Well, I tell you, they're not up my sleeve, Stephen. They're in my work in progress pipeline.
What are they?
So everything from 300-400 job projects down to what we've seen predominantly over the last period
what
of time.
What sectors?
Oh, across all sectors. So those, but let's
come on, Al. So you are keeping it up your sleeve. 5,000 new jobs for Northern Ireland is significant.
IT.
Where are they coming from?
IT, financial services, business services, contact centres, legal processing, all of the areas that the strategy has pointed in the direction. I'm delivering a plan. I'm delivering a strategy. We've committed to deliver against
What type of international companies are creating those jobs?
So, in the last year and a half, we've attracted two of the top law firms out of London.
No, between now and March of next year, these 5,000 new jobs, where are they coming from?
From those sectors that I've just outlined.
Which companies?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you that.
But you have signed contracts?
No. I have signed contracts for 8,360 of them. I have a pipeline of opportunity that I believe will deliver the rest of them between now and the year end.
No, you guarantee they're going to deliver.
There's no guarantee.
You said you're going to hit the 13,000 mark.
That's not a guarantee, that's a commitment. That's my job. I've got to deliver numbers. Now, if some of those projects don't deliver and we miss our number, then I'll be accountable for that.
What's that mean, though? What will you do if you don't get that 13,000 figure?
Well, I at the end of the day, my target is over a 4-year period. So my absolute commitment is to deliver the 25,000 over the 4-year period. So if I don't do the 13,300 this year, we'll do more next year and the year after to hit that number.
I wouldn't expect you to tell me the detail, but is there anything that you guys are working on, just against the negative news, that could be massive for Northern Ireland that's kind of, you know, that's in the pipeline, you're working on it, and there could be a massive company coming in?
The answer to that is no. The continual trends in foreign direct investment flows is a larger number of smaller scale projects. So I could give you a massive one. A massive one in terms of a brand name. CVS, the largest pharmacy chain in the US, came to Northern Ireland last year, but it's sub 50 jobs. But we get in there, we start to deliver the projects, and we build on the back of that. 75% of the companies, the international companies who invest in Northern Ireland, reinvest for a second or third time. Matter of fact, some of our largest companies have reinvested 5 times. So that's the strategy. So there are some massive brand names. Northern Ireland is the only part of these islands in Europe who have got the two U.S. Exchanges in their in their country. Both New York Stock Exchange and now Chicago Mercantile Exchange have both software development centres here in Belfast. Now, that's massive for us.
Have you any other numbers that you want to give us?
Well, the other piece was the Jobs Fund. The ministers funded the Jobs Fund. The Jobs Fund very specifically intended to, because we have a lag between contract for jobs and they actually get delivered on the ground and in the international market. The Jobs Fund was specifically created to reduce that drag, to create jobs quickly. And I'm delighted to say that the Jobs Fund, we have actually contracted out of that 8,300, 3,200 of those are contracted. Today, as we sit here, 1,600 of those are in place. So that's in a year. 1,600 jobs have been created in the ground. People are being employed today as a result of that initiative that was set up by the government. And I've now said we need to push that even further. Local companies have been tremendous in Northern Ireland because we always talk about the foreign direct investment side. 2,400 of those jobs are actually coming from local firms.